We'll call the meeting of the Ag and Rural Development Policy Committee to order. The hour of truth really having arrived. We have three bills up today. We'll start out with Representative Gunther's bill. And we do not have a quorum, but we will start to take testimony. Representative Gunther, welcome to the committee. I'll move at the appropriate time to that House File 1389 be recommended pass and sent to what committee? General Register?
This goes to General Register, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
General Register.
I don't know if I'll go that far.
Okay.
It's always a kiss of death.
Okay, Representative Gunther, if you could please present your bill, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. This bill, House File 1389, is a bill clarifying county agricultural society exemption from local zoning ordinances, amending statutes 2004, section 38.01 and 38.16. The history of this is that agricultural societies were statutory empowered by the legislature in 1860. The original powers included the right to perpetual succession, power to sue, power to be sued, power to adopt constitution and bylaws, power to make such rules and regulations as they deem necessary, power to purchase and hold, or purchase to hold or purchase any real or personal estate which shall be deemed necessary to promote the object of such society. The power to have full jurisdiction during the fair to control the grounds upon which the society may hold its fair, including police powers and regulations. And somewhere along this, in this talking points, the issue is, does egg societies have control of fairgrounds the entire year or only during the fair? Can cities impose restrictions and fees that are counter to Chapter 38.16? And that's what we're trying to get at.
Excuse me, Chair Gunther. Thank you. I'll officially call the meeting to order. We do have a quorum. Representative Hamilton moves the minutes of Wednesday, March 2nd. Any additions or corrections?
No.
Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Members, if you would please take a look at your packet at the green sheet tomorrow, March 9th. Oh, some are blue. I'm sorry. I'm colorblind, I guess. Either blue or green. There's a joint committee hearing. I believe it's going to be not in the basement. We're going to try and get room 200. Can we get 200? We'll try and get 200, so kind of keep that in mind. It'll be on TV, so I'll have to comb my hair, I suppose, what little bit I have left. So with that, I will move that House File 1389 be recommended passed and sent to the General Register. Before we continue with the testimony, is there anyone that wishes to testify against this bill that's in the audience at all? Anyone that wishes to testify against this bill? Okay, Representative Gunther, then we get the Reader's Digest version for the rest. Basically, what are we trying to do here?
We're trying to prevent cities from imposing fees on fairgrounds.
Fine piece of legislation. Any questions for members? Fine? It's fine. Any other comments, Chairman Gunther?
Can't think of a one, unless Mr. Schoenfeld has
something. Mr. Chairman, I understand. My name is Jerry Schoenfeld, Minister of the Federation of County Fairs. I understand the Reader's Digest version, but I would say that it does do one other thing, and that just clarifies the fact that in Chapter 38.16, presently, that the existing law states that a city may not impose a fee and they may not impose a zoning restriction. And so I want to point out that it also deals with zoning restrictions. And the problem, the reason that this is before you is because there's some interpretations by some city attorneys to say that it only applies during the fair. The chapter does not say that, in our opinion, and I think Mr. Rankin's opinion, it says that basically they have it year-round, so we're just putting the words year-round into the statute. And maybe you'd want to ask Mr. Rankin if you would agree with my statement that I said for him.
Mr. Rankin, do you agree with the statement of Mr. Schoenfeld?
Mr. Chairman, I believe I do agree with that.
Well, thank you very much. That means a lot. Representative Junkie. First of all, Mr. Chair, I'm sorry I was late. Who brought the cookies?
I was going to recognize when my mouth wasn't full. I'd like to recognize Jennifer for bringing the cookies. Thank you very much. They're awesome.
Here I thought it was maybe Gunther trying to get his bill passed. So now I got to rethink. Maybe we can go a little longer version of this bill at this point.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, yeah, I think there's a Fairgrounds in Wilmer, isn't there?
Yeah,
I believe there is. Ooh, this is getting brutal. I can't handle it. Okay, with that being said, any questions for Chair Gunther or Mr. Schoenfeld? Okay, with that, I'll renew my motion that House File 1389 be recommended pass and sent to the General Register. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Chair Gunther,
and thank you,
Mr. Schoenfeld. Okay, again, joint committee meeting tomorrow, hopefully room 200. If not there, it's going to be down here. It's the joint meeting committee for the biosciences, and we're having ag finance, environment policy, jobs and economic finance, and the bioscience subcommittee chair, or that's not subcommittee, what is that? Division chair, Cole. Okay, item next, and just so members know, that's tomorrow, and then next week, on Tuesday, we're having my equal time for the folks that had some concerns about some of the testimony of Ann Lindsay from the EPA. When Ann Lindsay was here, she gave some testimony. There's some groups that also want to testify that day, and my conclusion was that our guest was Ann Lindsay that day, flying in from Chicago or D.C. D.C.? But I told the other groups that we would have equal time for them at some point. That point will be next Tuesday during the committee. They have the entire committee. Then the next day we're hearing the four atrazine bills. And then members, if you have some bills that you need heard, let's talk. We'll try and make time for you. There's some other bills coming up. Representative Junkie, that bill on fertilizer, we've got time. Sometime we'll make time for that whenever you're ready for that.
Okay.
I promise somebody else. Oh, Hansen on the bill dealing with buffer strips.
Buffer strips.
See, I'm trying to get the attendance up with these things. It's really trying to do that. I think we will with the atrazine next time. But just looking forward to the first deadline. When is the first deadline?
About a week after April. Easter.
Week after Easter?
Yep.
Early April?
Yep.
April 4th.
Yep.
April 4th, first deadline, something like that.
Friday.
Okay, so we are approaching that. Believe it or not, that'll come quicker than you think. So any other bills that you're looking at, let's get them in, or let's talk about them. Okay, with that, let's go back to the top there, House File 560, a Hamilton bill, House File 560. Representative Hamilton will move that House File 560 be recommended pass and sent to the General Register. We haven't had any other requests, have we? Okay, General Register is for now, unless there's somebody else wants to look at it. Representative Hamilton will move the bill. Welcome to committee. If you'd like to present your bill, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Once again, I do move House File 560 to be recommended or to pass and referred to the General Registry. Mr. Chair, first of all, I'd like to commend you and other committee members as far as pushing the E20 legislation and other initiatives in this body that are helping to advance the state's support of renewable and alternative fuels. I recently had a renewable fuel trip out in my district. I visited Bingham Lake, Huron Lake, and the Brewster Soybean Processing Plant. And many of the farmers and investors in those groups want to make sure that we understand that there is a need to make sure that government is leading by example and using the renewable fuels in our state fleets. Governor Pawlenty took a bold step in announcing and signing an executive order to establish the Smart Fleet Initiative. And he, like many of us, we do realize that it's time to put the state's proverbial dollar where the money where the mouth is. And I wanted to take this initiative one step further and provide more certainty to his executive order by advancing this legislation. This legislation would establish state policy on minimizing energy use and requiring renewable fuels. Using 2005 as a baseline, the state of Minnesota shall reduce the use of gasoline by on-road vehicles owned by state departments by 25% by 2010 and by 50% in 2015. And the use of petroleum-based diesel fuel and diesel-fueled vehicles by 10% by 2010 and 25% by 2015. To meet these goals, each state department will, whenever legally, technically, and economically feasible, purchase at least 75% of new on-road vehicles that use cleaner fuels or have fuel efficiency ratings that exceed 30 miles per gallon during in city use and 35 miles per gallon for highway usage. It's important to start this process today so that we'll have the vehicles in place to meet the renewable fuel goals. Unfortunately, the state's performance on current law has been lagging, and I'd just like to point in the energy use guidelines for the Minnesota State Agencies, Minnesota Statute 2004, under 16C.135, Purchase of Fuel and Vehicles by State Agencies, it is defined for purpose of the section Cleaner Fuels. It defines the cleaner fuels, the ethanol, biodiesel, compressed natural gas, and others. And then it also, in Subdivision 2, talks about purchasing those fuels. And Subdivision 3, talk about purchasing vehicles. And I believe we do have a testifier here today that can give us the numbers to support that last statement. Once again, I think we need more teeth to keep the state agencies on track with some flexibility that accommodates marketplace availability and economic realities of the state budget. Mr. Chair, I would like to call upon Mr. Warren Formal, I believe he's in the room, to testify, and I believe that there are others here today that wish to testify also.
Okay. Before we continue, I would ask the question on this bill, House File 560, is there anyone in the audience that wishes to testify against the bill? Against the bill. Representative Hamilton, would you say it's safe to say that basically what this bill does is implements what the governor has initiated by executive order?
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
Okay. If you could please identify yourself and provide your testimony, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Warren Formal, and I'm with the Minnesota Corn Growers Association. You guys have heard plenty from me and from our organization recently about ethanol, so I won't take a lot of your time. You have other people with more information that I would like you to get to. But we would like to go on record as strongly supporting this effort, and I want to thank the author and others who have signed on to this measure. As you know, our organization has been leading by example in that the fleet of vehicles that we operate for several years now have all been flex fuel vehicles, and we have been using extensively or exclusively E85. And so we appreciate the effort to have the state also lead by example in promoting the use of renewables, particularly E85. So with that, if there are no questions, I would allow you to get on to the other testifiers.
Are there any questions for Mr. Formal? Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Representative Hamilton, who's next?
It's Mr. Jerry Schoenfeld.
Welcome, committee, sir. Please state your name and who you represent for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jerry Schoenfeld. I'm representing the Minnesota Soybean Growers Association.
Welcome, committee,
and,
sir.
And just want to say thank you for all the support that we've gotten from this committee over the last number of years in our biodiesel effort, which is kind of the addition to the ethanol effort. In the mind of your Reader's Digest version of earlier, I'm going to just simply say that we support this legislation as well. We have worked to secure for July 1st that the law that was passed in the biodiesel will go into effect to require the 2% in the state. And I want to just mention one thing about that, and that is that recently we have had good news from some of the distributors that those terminals are going to be having the biodiesel in place. So we're looking like right on schedule for July 1st.
Thank you, sir. From Heigerken.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, in regards to the terminals, now I know we've had a problem with it. I understand that Minnesota is getting some funding for it, but I understand that Iowa, North Dakota, South Dakota are not in the play. Is that true?
Mr. Schoenfeld?
Mr. Chairman, there's no funding specifically that I know of, Representative Heigerken, okay. But the fact is that the independent companies like Magellan Pipeline, or Magellan and the other companies, Amoco and so forth, have committed to installing it at terminals within Minnesota. There still is some question about some of those that are outside of the state on the borders, correct? And that is being continued discussions are taking place between people that are producing and people that are going to be distributing. It is probably going to be the requests of the retailers that will bring that about. And I can just tell you that internally we're in good shape. On the borders, we've still got a little work to do, but it's moving in the right direction.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Heiger. Any other questions for Mr. Schoenfeld? Thank you, Mr. Schoenfeld. Anyone else you'd like to
Yes, try? Mr. Chair, a couple more. Mr. Tim Morse.
Tim Morse. Welcome, committee, sir. If you please state your name and who you represent for the record.
My name is Tim Morse. I work for the Department of Administration in the Travel Management Division as the director.
What's the agency's position on this bill?
The agency supports the bill.
Just wondering. Okay, please provide your testimony.
I'm going to be brief also, but I'm also going to be very disappointed if no one asks any questions. So.
We'll think of some.
Thank you. And Representative Junkie, I'm alluding to your bill last year. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Morris and Representative Junkie, I believe you had a bill last year that we had a long discussion on. The problem with the state fleet is that we have a lot of E85 vehicles out there, but there really are no places for them to fill up. And that's a problem not only in the metro area, but I know Representative Junkie did some research on it last year. If you drove on I-94 from St. Paul to Fargo, I think there's one station at Monticello, and that's it. Again, that, and again, I'm just bringing this up, Chair, because I've got two ethanol bills that I'm going to be asked for hearing before the deadline yet. So, thank you.
You're most welcome. Representative Junkie.
Well, Mr. Chair, maybe it's a good time. Members, I handed out a piece of paper here. This is something we've been working on. This did just come up with the governor or with Representative Hamilton, but we appreciate their efforts on it. But if those that were on the committee last year certainly remember the discussion, and we did a little research. We took a snapshot, members, of 1 month's usage. I think 2 summers ago we picked a month out, I think August or July, I can't remember. And we did a little questioning of our departments now, and you can see the results of them. First of all, they have been required in state law for some time to be switching to these vehicles, and you can see the compliance. Travel Management is making a fairly good effort. They are at 54%, but you can see our other agencies are woefully behind in what they're doing. And then what Representative Heigerken was alluding to is even when they buy, so 54% of Travel Management fleet is E85 capable, yet only 16% of the fuel put through them is actually E85. So you can buy the cars, but if you're not stopping at the stations and fueling, we got a problem. And you're right, Representative Heigerken, and in some areas of the state, particularly in Northwest, there's very few stations. But I suggest that most of these vehicles are domiciled at one time or another here in the Twin Cities. There's plenty of stations here, plenty of stations as you go west. There's even a station in Duluth, Mr. Chair, which sells E85. And at that time, we thought it would be as simple as just putting an orange sticker on the dash saying, please pull into an E85 station, here's the map, you know, and letting folks do it. I think they can comply fairly easily. Just to refresh members on what we did last year, and again, I don't know if it's something we should hook onto this bill or not. After discussion, we had talked about, again, requiring the departments to report back every 6 months on vehicle numbers and usage. And they agreed they could do that, just like they did with these figures, so we could, number one, track their progress. The second thing I had suggested, but the committee jettisoned, Mr. Chair, was to actually put some teeth into it by some monetary fines if they weren't complying. If they have an E85 vehicle and they're putting regular gas into it and it was fueled, you can actually tell the stations they're fueled at, which is, I'm going to back up a minute because this is interesting. The reason this whole thing came to me is I was sitting in Wilmer one day at a Holiday gas station. And I looked over, Mr. Chair, and there was an E85 vehicle fueling up right in front of me, a state-owned vehicle. So I wrote the number of that state-owned vehicle down, and I just wanted to make the point, there's two E85 stations in Wilmer, two of them. Not that there isn't one, there's two of them. Yet this car, state vehicle, fleet car, had no idea that they were supposed to be pulling in and fueling. So part of it is an education process, but we can also track through receipts if they are fueling E85 in a town, fueling regular in a town where there are E85 pumps within a few miles or within the same town. So this compliance stuff is fairly easy. I suggested that if they were putting regular fuel in where they should have been putting E85 in, that we take back the 20-cent difference from their budgets every year. Give them a little incentive on the fuel. Well, Representative Demmer and maybe, I don't know if Magnus or a number of people on the committee last year thought, well, let's not punish yet. It was the kinder, gentler ag committee at that time. And we decided, let's just have the reports and see how they're doing. So that was the bill last year, and I guess I'd ask you as we move this through if we ought not have a reporting requirement in so that we can keep track. It's one thing, again, to say that we're doing this, but as we can see, it's not being done. And just because we say so doesn't mean it will be done. And I wonder, Mr. Chair, if we shouldn't every 6 months or a year this committee get a little report back on how we're making progress on it.
Well, Representative Jackie, that might be a good idea. I'm not real big on fines right now.
No. Oh, or fees or surcharges or I heard about yours. I heard.
Because what I found is when you do follow the law and you do comply with what's written in the law, you still get fined.
So then we shouldn't follow the law?
It cost me $6,000 to follow the law. But some boards can't read apparently, I guess. Okay. Not in there. Okay, we're some junkie on page 2. I mean, I like what you're saying.
No,
I like what you're saying. On page 2, Smart Fleet Committee must evaluate, on line 34, must evaluate goals and directives carefully.
Well, Mr. Chair,
maybe
to you and to the author, do we really need a Smart Fleet Committee, too? I mean, last year we found that departments could just do these reports and send them back to us. It didn't take a whole committee to do it. I'm just rhetorically asking some of this as you think through it.
Yeah.
I hate more government and more committees, and you know, I'm kind of like my friends on the other side of the aisle there with that, Mr. Chair, that less is better, and I wonder if we're making this more difficult than we need to. I mean, we need to keep at this, but just thinking, I didn't prepare any amendments or anything, and I do have copies of my language from last year, but I didn't do it as an amendment either at this point.
Okay. To that point, Representative Heigerken, Representative Junkie still has the floor. Representative Heigerken.
Yeah, to that point, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hamilton, I think I like the bill very much, and I think it would be nice if we could have some teeth in it. As Representative Junkie pointed out, only 60% of the 55% are using the 85, and if there are no teeth here, I can see it's a good initiative and everything else, but will they do it? You know, and it's will they burn E85 or whatever we have available for them? It's something that it's a good point brought up, though. I think we need something more to give it a little more strength,
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hamilton,
can I answer your question with a question? The bill with the teeth in it. Mm-hmm. Why did it not pass last year,
Mr. Chair?
Representative Junkie,
the bill did pass, and like a lot of the bills last year, it tumbled to the floor at the end of session. A lot of the omnibus bills didn't come back. This was in the omnibus finance bill, I believe. We passed the policy bill, Craig, but this was in the finance bill. And so that didn't make it to the finish line. It was tied up with the environmental finance bill at that point, and we lost it. We passed the ag policy, but this was in finance.
Okay. Going back to Representative Heigerken.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. To that, I mean, it's a good bill, and I think we can, you know, I'll vote for the bill itself. But it's something that perhaps along the road someplace we can just, if you can think of something to add a little bit, give it a little strength. All right, thank you. I appreciate that, Mr. Chair.
And now back to Representative Junkie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll show this to you and the committee or your committee administrator. If there's a place that fits now, I actually, without putting a monetary, again, fine into it, for just some reporting requirements, I do have the language here that we put in the bill last year if you'd like to see it, and I'll pass that over while we're talking here. Maybe it's something we could...
And then we'll go to Representative Magnus.
Mr. Chairman, just some comments tonight, and I think the really the actual key to increasing ethanol use in the state is, at this point, I believe, it's my belief anyway, that E85 is a way to go and stimulate all the E85 demand we can. And Representative Junkie has brought up a good point in the fact that Not every place has stations that handle the 85. So I think we need to look at some incentives. And Representative Heigerken, I think you're offering the bill because I'm co-authoring with you to stimulate to offer some incentives and some ideas for petroleum stations and jobbers in the state to encourage them to put more E85 pumps in. And I think before we go down the road too far with penalties, I would like to see us look at ways that we can incent the petroleum jobbers in the industry to provide more E85 and get it out in the areas that is not out there and get them in more areas that it's in.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Hamilton.
Yeah, Representative Magnus, you're talking about positive reinforcement versus negative. I like that approach.
Yeah. I do, too.
I'm positive. Positive guy.
Okay, now, we do have the 24-hour rule, which I do not like, and we'll try and get around every time possible. However, I think Representative Junkie has some good points there. It would probably make this bill travel some other places, possibly, in just reading it quickly. What I'd like to do, if it's okay with the committee, is, you know, have a vote on this bill as is, unless there's some other amendments that might come up here shortly. But then we have several... Representative Junkie, we have several other E85 bills coming through here that I'd like that worked up on to do that, if that's okay. Any other questions? Oh, did you want to provide some testimony?
I did.
First, there's a question.
A couple others.
We have panelists.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I think this is for Representative Junkie. Number three, you handed out the sheet.
Yes.
Yep. Number three there on bulk fuel. You mean to tell me the Department of Natural Resources, Department of Public Safety, and Department of Transportation have no E85 bulk tanks? And
that is correct.
Okay, and Mr. Chair and committee, I find it very hard to believe that they must have bulk somewhere. Travel management, 570 gallons. I mean, I'm not a big farmer. That's nothing at all. Investment in, if they can't go any further, invest in a 300-gallon tank. My Lord.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to provide some testimony? That was rhetorical, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Thank you.
Did you have something to say?
I did.
Okay, please proceed.
Do you want me to go ahead with the testimony, or?
Is it short?
Yep.
Then go ahead.
I work for the Department of Administration. I work in the division that supplies vehicles to agencies. We are the vehicle supplier, but we are not the vehicle operators, and I wanted, you know, to be clear about that. We work with agencies to try to positively enforce using alternative fuel and moving away from petroleum. My message here today is that we support the bill. I think from a fleet management perspective, moving away from petroleum dependence is a just sound fleet management. And I think that's, if you support ethanol or if you don't support ethanol, I think it's just plain sound fleet management to move away from petroleum dependence. Are state agencies trying to move toward cleaner fuel? Yes, I would say that they are. Could they do better? Yes, I think they could do better. Will this legislation help? Yes, it will help. What are some of the obstacles? And some of them have come up in the discussion. We need more available types of flex fuel vehicles. We need a bigger variety, especially of light trucks. The ones that have come up most recently are there have been a lot of SUVs that have come up recently, and that's a good thing, but the state doesn't really have a big work requirement for sport utility vehicles. Light trucks would help us a great deal. We need more E85 locations. That came up in the discussion. There are quite a few springing up in the southern part of the state. I think we're well over 100 now. The northern part of the state, however, is pretty sparse. We have vehicles. The state has vehicles all over the state. The American Lung Association of Minnesota has been a really valuable partner in trying to build the fuel network. They've done a very good job. We need, as was pointed out earlier, too, we need more education for our state agency folks. Both the agencies and specifically the drivers. I think the legislation will help us move more quickly away from petroleum dependence. I have a handout which I will, if I could have somebody hand out, that would be great. This is a graph, and I'm going to just hold it up here for a minute. This is kind of the plan to move away from petroleum dependence. The dark on the top is E85 use. So the plan is to move away from petroleum dependence and replace it basically with what is available now, which is E85 in the state, as we reduce our gasoline dependence. There's a plan to move away from petroleum diesel too and replace it with biodiesel. I didn't make a graph for the petroleum diesel part, but the numbers are present in the on the second pages. Again, I think it's the legislation will help the state move away from dependence on petroleum. It's hard to argue that that's not a good thing with the instability of pricing and the instability of the world market. I would be happy to try to answer any questions from a state agency perspective that anyone might have.
Thank you, Mr. Morris. Representative Junkie?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, to the members of the committee, I want to tell you that Travel Management and Department Administration have been very good to work with. I will also tell you that the hardest group on here to get information from was MnDOT. It took me many, many months to get the information from their fleet of vehicles. So kudos to you and your department. You've been good to work with. You understand it, and I appreciate that. The other question I have is either to you or to maybe Representative Hamilton. Are we shooting too low in your bill? You asked for, 25% by in 5 years and 50% in 10 years, I think. I mean, right now, we have over 54% of our fleet vehicles are E85. We could be putting fuel in them today,
mm-hmm.
and we could be at, I mean, are we letting them off the hook for 5 years, saying we only want 25% in that time when they could be doing it today, I suspect, on most things, if they just pull into the stations or put in a bulk tank like Representative Pennis suggests.
Mr. Chairman?
Hamilton?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Junkie, maybe? Potentially, but as Mr. Morris pointed out here, we've got a number of issues with the department that needs to be addressed, and I feel we need a starting place here. Use 2005 as a benchmark and build off of that. I would love to see this be more aggressive. I also want it to be obtainable, and that's why I've settled on these numbers.
Well, again, thank you, and I'll continue to think about that and work with you on it. You know, current law does state, as you alluded to, when purchasing a motor vehicle for central motor pool or use by an agency, the commissioner shall purchase a motor vehicle that is capable of being powered by cleaner fuels, et cetera, et cetera. So already, maybe to the witness, how often does your fleet turn over?
Mr. Morris?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, depending on what type of vehicle it is, typically for a car, it's 4 to 5 years. Typically, if we get into a light truck, it's longer, maybe 7 or 8 years.
So, Mr. Chair, literally, we know there's cars out there that are E85. Within 5 years, that entire fleet should be E85 powered, and we know there's light trucks and others that are out there now that are E85, and within 7 or 8 years, the majority of those, I suggest, should be dual-fuel vehicles or some other thing also. So, again, I appreciate the effort. I just wonder if we're not being a little too lenient in giving folks an out here when we know that the technology and the fuels are available. But I'm asking that rhetorically. I don't need an answer.
Mr. Chairman?
Thank you.
Okay.
Representative Hamilton?
Well, I'd just like to follow up. You know, I understand and I agree with your statements. The other issue that was brought up here was the availability of pumps and whatnot. I mean, there's a number of areas that need to be addressed. So.
And thank you. I think members, one of the things as I'm sitting here listening to the discussion, one thing that this committee I think needs to do, there's several bills out there to promote the pumps. I mean, funding for more pumps, and I think that would help a lot of this. Any other questions for Mr. Morris?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Magnus.
In looking at the handout that Representative Junkie handed out, I have a question for Mr. Morris. Mr. Morris, typically, I see that DNR and Public Safety and Transportation have no E85 bulk tanks. Typically, in a situation, does the facility have one bulk tank, or do they have that several, or how does it, in a typical situation, work out?
Mr. Morris?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, it varies from agency to agency. DNR, I know, has been working to purchase more retail fuel and minimize the number of bulk tanks they have at their sites.
Cool.
Typically, you can't find them at a park, though, or at a location that doesn't have retail fuel. MnDOT, on the other hand, has districts, and they have a district office, and usually they have a bulk tank at the district office.
One or Magnus, Mr. Or Chairman, Mr. Marsh, one tank or several or varies or
Mr. Marsh?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, it varies depending on the site and what the need is at the site, but usually there will be a diesel fuel tank and a gasoline tank.
Mr. Chairman, and to emphasize Representative Junkie's point also, by the time in a few years this fleet should be turned over to all E85, I wouldn't see any reason why we don't have if they have one bulk tank there, I don't see any reason why it isn't an E85 tank. I can see today if less than half the fleet or whatever is not that they need to, they would need to add a bulk tank or go to retail outlets. And again, we're talking about a bit of a hindrance in some areas with E85. So I think as this progresses, we can get more of this E85 used.
Representative Pennis?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And what is the average size of the bulk tanks that these agencies have?
Mr. Morris?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I can't speak for all of the agencies. Typically, DNR will have a 500-gallon size. At Travel Management, we have a 2,000-gallon tank that we use for E85. MnDOT has larger tanks. Of course, they have the trucks and so forth that use more fuel.
Representative?
So, Mr. Chair, it's really inexcusable that they have no E85 bulk tanks if you're talking about a 500-gallon tank. Unexcusable.
Any other questions, Representative Junkie?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, to Representative Heigerkin's comments and just that general comment, doesn't necessarily need a response. But again, looking at the map of E85 stations, there's like 26 of them in the Twin Cities. So whether you have a bulk tank or not, you can certainly find a station on your way in or out of the state capitol complex and travel management pool areas. And secondly, Representative Heigerkin's right, as you drive down Highway 94, there's one in St. Cloud, I believe, there's one in Monticello, but then the next one's Moorhead. But again, I would suggest that even if you fuel up in the cities, Representative Heigerkin, even with the E85, you should be able to make it to Moorhead. So, I mean, you should still be able to find the fuel. Just because there's not an easy pull-off somewhere along there, I would assume... none in Freeport. None at Freeport.
We're gonna get
here's updated. Well, wait a minute. We got updated maps coming here, members. So maybe Erdahl's right. Nope, nothing in Freeport. Sorry, buddy.
Okay.
Put a bill together for that. I mean,
that would be a law.
There is one in Barnesville, however, so you can get there.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, if you could quick entertain an oral amendment, I would move that we would require an E85 pump at a restaurant of the first class with the name starting in C, located at a city along I-94 north of St. Cloud, in a city with a name starting with F.
I'm sorry, Representative Finstead, that's out of order. It's down to the 24-hour rule.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I guess that's handy sometimes. Okay. Representative Junkie, you still have the floor?
That's fine. I'm good.
Representative Moll?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question for either Representative Hamilton or Mr. Morse. The Smart Fleet Committee, I can't be too hard on this because I'm on this bill, but is there a cost for this committee? And would this be, where would this be housed?
Mr. Morse?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, I don't foresee a cost for the committee. It will be made up of existing state people. Initially, there will be representatives from the Department of Agriculture, Department of Commerce, PCA, MnDOT, DNR, and ADNA.
First MO?
No intelligence quotient to be on the Smart Fleet Committee at all. No.
Mr. Chairman?
Did you ask more questions?
No.
Sure. Okay. MO? Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Morris? Okay, thank you very much, sir.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for letting me testify, and I'm looking forward to working with the committee in the future years as we move forward with this.
Thank you, sir.
Let's do it.
Any other testifiers?
Yes, Mr. Chair, one more. Mr. Tim Gerlach.
Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
My name is Tim Gerlach. I'm Director of Outdoor Air Programs at the American Lung Association of Minnesota.
Welcome to the committee, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. The American Lung Association is wholeheartedly in favor of this. We have, for the last 7 years, been the point of contact for E85 development in Minnesota. We are the coordinator of the Twin Cities Clean Cities Coalition, a U.S. Department of Energy designated coalition. We have a coalition of public and private entities, including our friends at the Minnesota Soybean Growers and Minnesota Corn Growers Association, who have been very supportive. The state agencies, as of course the Department of Administration, PCA, the Commerce, Energy Division, and Agriculture are all important members of our coalition. The one concern that I would offer has already been brought up. It's the reporting part of it, or some sort of enforcement. There are existing federal laws, presidential executive orders, and state laws that do this same sort of thing. And unfortunately, you have the same sort of results. You have those that do it for all the right reasons, and then you have those that will try and wiggle out of it for whatever reason. And it's unfortunate. We would hope that agencies would understand the importance of this and would do the right thing. But I'll give you an example. A station in Bemidji, Minnesota, Jack Stop Sitco, has been open since midsummer. And there is one nearby state agency that fills up there regularly, every day, in fact. And there is one state agency located less than a mile away, which has never been there to our knowledge, at least according to the station owner and clerks. We hope to change that. And some of it is education, but I'm afraid some of it runs a bit deeper than that. It's some mindsets that have to be changed. And anything you can do with this committee, with this proposed legislation, we hope would help further that.
Thank you, sir. Representative Junkie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'll continue to work with you just to respond to him and Representative Hamilton and other bills, because he's right. In here, you know, the committee may make recommendations to the governor and committees if they want. You know, it's not, there's not a lot of teeth in here to get back to us and let us know what's going on a regular basis. So I think if we can come up some language in future bills similar to what we did last year that actually gives specific dates every year to report back to you, Mr. Chair, and the committee over in the Senate. We're the ones that are kind of concerned about this right now, and I think we should keep track of it and keep the pressure on.
Representative Junkie and Representative Hamilton, just maybe some food for thought on page 2. And Representative Junkie, I think, makes a very good point here. It's May, maybe on Tuesday afternoon, possibly if the Cubs are playing the White Sox. on page 2, line 36, what if we change the word may to must? And are there other places? And I'm just throwing this out. It's your bill. Just an idea.
And Mr. Chair, I'd do must, but I'd also put in a date. It must report at least annually to the governor and the appropriate committees, or at least, you know, an annual report, or every 6 months, or whatever you deem is. But again, must report means they can do it once and they're done. Must report annually, must report, maybe must. Mr. Rankin can come up with a definitive so that this committee gets the report back at least, I'd say at least annually, I'd like to see it.
Representative Hamilton, what are your thoughts on that?
Mr. Chair, I believe we all want the same outcome. And if we need to put a little more teeth in there by changing a few words, give me some suggestions, I'm open to it.
Of course, this would be totally in order. Representative Finstead's was far too long. This is just technical in nature. Mr. Rankin, any ideas on that?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, it isn't very difficult, I don't think, to make the reporting a lot more upfront than the current draft is. And perhaps you would say on page 2, line 36, the committee must make recommendations, and then on page 3, to the governor and appropriate committees of the legislature. And then you could either say in February of every year, or you could say in February and August, or depending on how frequently you would like to see these reports. At least they get it. The mandate is there saying that they have to happen.
Some junk, any thoughts on that? Or if we said on page 2, line 36, change may to must, and then on page 3, line 1, to the governor and appropriate committees of the legislature.
Mr. Chair, I'd suggest maybe February 1st, because at that point, then we still have time before deadline. Number one, we'll be back in the second year by that time, usually, because we don't meet in January. And then we would have time before deadlines, if they're not complying with things, to put more teeth into it if we want to. So
annually.
Mr. Chairman, then on page 3, the end of line 1, after the word legislature, on February 1 of each year, would be added.
Committee members?
Yep.
We're looking at a very unsubstantial amendment, very technical in nature. On page 2, may to must, on page 3, line 1, to the governor and appropriate committees of the legislature, on February 1st of each year, and then for new or adjusted goals and directives, etc. Any comments on that to the author of the bill, Representative Hamilton?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'm okay with that. Keep it clean. Keep it simple.
Representative Junkie then makes that motion. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Junkie. Okay, any other comments for Mr. Gerlach? Any questions? I'm sorry, I have Representative Junkie, Representative Pennis, and then Mo. Representative Pennis.
This is
oh, pass. Okay. Pass. Representative Moe?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to know the state agency in Bemidji that's not buying their gas at Jackstown.
We want names and addresses.
I'll visit them on Friday.
Mr. Gerlach?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, with all due respect, I have to do a bit more research to make sure of my sources.
That was
but it's,
good.
It's a large, it's a large agency.
Yeah. Might it be residing on the lake with 5,000 students?
Just handle it in.
Representative Moe, and then Pennis. Representative Moe.
I'll look forward for a confirmation to that. Thanks.
Representative Pennis.
Mr. Chair, with due respect, this is a public agency that's paid for by public tax dollars. If they don't jump to the pump, then they deserve to be named. And, I don't care if you've got exact facts, you've got some. I want to know.
Mr. Gerlach, who do you think it may be?
Mr. Chairman, it would be the Minnesota Department of Transportation.
Thank you.
And I would add that we have heard these sort of issues with other agencies, but in the end, it boils down to that individual driver and their behavior, and oftentimes it's just a matter of making it a priority. It's not the number one priority of the agency's business, but certainly when you see a flex fuel vehicle filling up at the same station where E85 is available, and you approach those drivers and they, I think you all understand the issue. I would offer one more item, and that is that we currently have federal funding to help offset the cost of both fleet and retail station building. We cannot pay for everything. We can help with low-cost conversions. We can help offset the cost of new equipment. And it won't go very far, but if people know of stations out there that need help, we would like to make that happen.
Thank you. Any other questions?
No. Thank you. I will visit Mr. Eaton at MnDOT on Friday. Thank you.
Representative Osmond.
I just want to welcome the committee and your concerns with regard to doing the right thing in government, because we've been trying to get people to use recycled materials for a long time, trying to put that as a priority with regard to the Department of Administration. And it's just been like banging your head against a concrete wall. It's really tough to get people to just do the smart thing, even when the cost is neutral. They got their vendors that they like to go to. They got their grooves they're involved in, and they just won't step out and do the right thing until they will be forced to. And I think it's about, I've encouraged legislation in the past and haven't been able to get it through, so I'm hoping you'll have some real success with this overall effort in getting people to recognize they need to just be doing the right thing.
Thank you, Chairman Osmond. And Representative Junkie, I'd like to work with you and Representative Hamilton and others further to, you know, now we're getting a report the way it is now, but maybe look at some fines or some penalties and so forth to get this going, because it'll certainly get their attention. Any other questions for Mr. Gerlach? Okay, is there anyone else in the audience who would like to testify for or against the bill? Any other questions from committee members?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Junkie? Did I miss somebody?
No.
Oh, Representative Junkie?
Mr. Chair, just a comment to Representative Hamilton, and I don't know if you'll have any trouble or not, but it seems this year there's more of a push than ever to jettison legislative findings. People are making the comment our statute books are getting way too big, and when we put in paragraphs, I appreciate what you said, but I'm just setting you up that Representative Kahn and others over in government, local government committees and others are trying to rid the books of some of this stuff, so you may run into some problems as you move forward with that. Just preparing you for what your response might be if you're asked. So, friendly advice.
Mr. Chair, Representative Junkie.
Very good advice for Junkie.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, without any other questions? Okay, Representative Hamilton renews his motion that House File 560, as amended, be recommended, passed, and sent to the General Register. Any further discussion from members? Hearing none, all fairs say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Hamilton. Item last is House File 1205, an Erdahl bill. Based on funding level for ethanol and rural economic development. Representative Erdahl, welcome to your committee. Thank you, Representative Hamilton. Representative Erdahl moves that House File 1205 be recommended to pass and sent to the Ag and Environmental Finance Committee. Okay.
I do have a minor author's amendment.
Okay. To get the bill in the shape that the author would like, what would that amendment be, Representative Erdahl?
Second page, line one, delete processing and marketing facilities, and add the word activities.
Okay, on line one, on page two, delete processing and marketing facilities, and add the word activities?
Correct.
Any discussion from members? Hear none, all fairs say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. We now have the bill in the
show. One more.
Okay.
Page four, line 34.
Page four, line 34.
Delete the word catch up and replace it with deficiency.
Deficiency. Okay. Page 4, line 34, delete catch up and insert the word deficiency. Any discussion? Hearing none, all fairs say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. We now have the bill in the shape that the author would like. Before we start, Representative Erdahl, is there anyone in the audience who wishes to testify in opposition or express concerns about House File 1205 as amended? Okay, Representative Erdahl,
if you could please
provide your testimony or describe the bill, please, sir.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. This bill passed the Senate committee yesterday. I would like to thank Representative Magnus for helping me to see my bill more clearly today. He loaned me a pair of glasses this morning.
I can see clearly now.
Right, ethanol plants, just a little history here for some of the members. Ethanol plants that began production before June 30th, 2000 are eligible to be subsidized for 10 years for their production of ethanol. The agreement was 20 cents a gallon up to 15 million gallons per plant per year, or $3 million per plant. Some of these plants have reached the 10-year limit of the subsidy and are now or soon will be no longer eligible for the subsidy. This presents a couple of challenges. In 2003, the legislature cut the subsidy from 20 cents to 13 cents a gallon.
but a promise was made to make the plants whole once they were no longer eligible for a subsidy. We need to keep that commitment. Also, agriculture is 0.3% of the state of Minnesota budget. Ethanol payments are approximately 40% of that amount. When those payments are eliminated, the ag portion of the state budget will be only about 0.16%. The purpose of this bill is to keep the funds that were going to ethanol plants in the agriculture budget once the plants go off the subsidy line. House File 1205 captures any amount of the annual appropriation for ethanol producer payments and rural economic infrastructure that is in excess of the amount required to make all scheduled ethanol producer payments. It essentially establishes a fund to rural economic infrastructure, including the development of processed and marketing facilities that will enhance the value of farm products. I am intentionally not specific about what the fund will be used for. We could specify now, but I think that we should first establish the fund. Once we have saved the money, we can cite ways to spend it. We will have time to decide how the fund is spent once our existing plants receive their full producer payments. Basically, we can't put the cart before the horse. Later, we'll get the horse to pull the cart. Our plan basically is to claim the money for agriculture, to restore the 20 cents from 13 cents once the plant goes offline, and to establish a fund to be used for value added. Agriculture is a dominant industry in Minnesota. Its value should be reflected in Minnesota's budget.
Thank you, Representative Erdahl. Any questions? Representative Junkie.
Mr. Chair, ultimately, as testifiers, could we hear from the department on this? I got a couple of questions before this is over.
Is there someone here from the department? Okay. Why don't we go right into the gentleman from the department, and then I have on my list, testifying on behalf of the bill, Mr. Chris Raddatz from the Minnesota Farm Bureau, Mr. Tom Peterson from the Minnesota Farmers Union. Do you please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir?
Mr. Chair, my name is Steve Ernest. I'm the Budget and Finance Director for the Department of Agriculture.
Thank you, sir. Representative Junkie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a couple of questions I'd like to get. And Representative Erdahl, I know you probably know the answers to this, but I'd always like to get it right from the source and make sure we get them on the record. First of all, can you tell us, Representative Erdahl alluded to which plants are coming offline, reaching their payment limit this year. Which plants are you counting in that reduction?
Sure, before you answer that question, could you please, for the record, please spell your last name? Is it E-R?
My name is E-R-N-E-S-T. Ernest.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you, sir. If you please answer Representative Duncan's question.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, Representative, this year, fiscal year 05, will be the last year of regular payments for Corn Plus in Winnebago. Next year, fiscal year 06, will be the last year of regular payments for Chippewa Valley Ethanol in Benson. And the next plants, there are several of them that fiscal year 8 is their last year. Those would be in Bingham Lake and Winthrop.
Representative Junkie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now, you know the law. You've got it in front of you. So you brought your statute book with you. Thank you for that. And when these plants come off, then do you as a department keep the money in the pot and increase the producer payments to the Buffalo Lakes and the others around that are still there? I believe, Mr. Chair, you have a plant. Do you increase those payments back up to 20 cents with the excess money? Are you keeping them at the reduced 13 cents and just adding time?
Mr. Ernest?
Mr. Chair, Representative, what we do at the end of the year is we will send out the money in the appropriation that's left over after we've made 13 cent per gallon payments on a prorated basis, pennies on the dollar of what we owe for the deficiency payments.
So, Mr. Chair, roughly $10 million that you are reducing this fund by then, that is after basically 20 cent payments have been made to all the other plants?
Mr. Ernest?
Mr. Chairman, the $10 million you're referring to, I think that's the difference between last biennium's appropriation and the coming biennium's appropriation.
Yes.
Mr. Ernest?
Mr. Chairman, that number is, I guess I don't have my budget book in front of me, but the payments in these recent years, the last year, this fiscal year, and the coming years, are going down as plants come off, and also in the first years when plants came on, they had some eligible production, and then they had a larger amount the next year up to their cap. So a plant will, as it comes off the program, have a lower amount for 1 year or 2 years that's eligible. So we appropriate based on how many gallons are eligible times the rate we're expected to pay. So last year, the gallons times 13 cents for the sum of the 2 years versus this current biennium, 04-05, 13-cent payments on all of the gallons eligible versus the 06-07 biennium, all the gallons of eligible times 13 cents. That's a $10 million difference. What happens to that money is that we never see it. It stays in the general fund because the appropriation law never gives us any authorization to have anything to do with those dollars. They're not appropriated to us.
So the first policy question I have then is, so you're still paying the 13 cents. The first policy question I have is, rather than reduce that fund by $10 million like the governor's budget does this year, ought we not increase those payments to 20 cents at plants remaining, which was our original agreement with them, 20 cents over 10 years? Wouldn't that be our first priority, Mr. Chair, to get our existing plants back up to where they are if we now have additional money in that spending account?
Mr. Chairman, to that point,
Representative Magnus,
I believe the payments were scheduled to go down to 19.
Okay, well, 19 then.
Because before the mess we had 2 years ago, it was scheduled to go to 19, so we were budgeting off the 19 cents.
I'll go with that, Mr. Chair.
Excuse me, Mr. Rankin.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, that would have been correct, except that was amended back up to 20 before it went into effect. And the statute currently says the payment rate is 20 cents, okay. Not the 19.
Okay. But one other one, too, is Gopher State's not involved either now. So that one's up.
Mr. Chair.
Well,
it is and it isn't. Yeah, okay. That's right.
We'll talk about that.
Representative Magnus, they still have a contract, and if they can hook into maybe Greg David's plant or my new one, they can still utilize that. So but that's another discussion. But
the situation is fluid.
Fluid.
Now, majority leader, you
good. Say? Yeah, fluid.
The situation is fluid.
So, I mean...
Representative Magnus,
To Mr. Rankin, then. So, we at this point, what we did last year, I'm trying to get a handle on, I have not reviewed it, we didn't require, as these plants come off, that we increase back to 19 or 20 or whatever it is now. Rather, they just continue on at the 13 until they're paid off.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, no, that isn't quite right either. The rider language in the appropriation bill last year, the bill that, I guess 2 years ago, that set up the procedure for making payments, said that it didn't change the obligation to the plant of 20 cents. And it also said if because of a shortfall in the appropriated amount, the plants weren't getting their full statutory amount of 20 cents, that would be made up at some future point. However, the rider language says that in 04 and 05, the payments were to be made to all plants at the rate of 13 cents per eligible gallon rather than 20 cents per eligible gallon. It also said that when the amount needed for payments in 06 and 07 was calculated, it needed to be calculated at the rate of 13 cents per gallon. So the budget request coming in from the Department of Agriculture for ethanol producer payments will be calculated at eligible capacity times 13 cents per gallon, and that's what they will be asking for.
So,
junkie.
So that's kind of what I said. We haven't.
Well, we haven't gone out. What you're saying is we haven't gone beyond this next biennium as far as the 13 cents.
Mr. Rankin.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, the calculations from the Department of Agriculture in our budget bill, the governor's budget bill too, seem to say that they want to continue the practice of calculating payments for eligible capacity in both 08 and 09, still at 13 cents. Okay. The rider language from 03, which was the 04 budget and 05 budget, seems to me to have implied that this 13 cents as opposed to 20 cents was supposed to run through the 04-05 budget cycle and the 06-07 budget cycle, and probably revert back up to 20 cents in 08. But it was silent on that, so we don't know for sure.
Thank you. And members, I know this isn't the Finance Committee, but I think it brings up some important policy questions. Number one, like I started with, just brief history for members that don't know. Up till this past session, what we had was roughly $69 million of biennium going into ethanol. So we ran into our budget shortfall problem last year, and in the budget solution of that year, the governor came forward with a proposal, and we ultimately accepted a proposal to drop that biennial payment to $44 million, is where it went this past biennium that we're in right now. Now, the governor and the department come again, and their new budget says this coming biennium they'd like to drop it again to $34 million. So what we've done is we've gone from $69 million that was headed out to rural Minnesota for sustainable and alternate fuel development and programming down to $34 million proposed this year. And the two questions I have, Mr. Chair, to you and to the committee is, number one, I find it a little pompous of us, me and others last year, to hold future legislators to any type of payment program. I mean, that's what we decide every year, and for some reason we're the department's calculating on 13 cents again this year, which is why we're seeing the $10 million starting to be freed up. So I would suggest the first thing we need to decide, not only for this year, but they're also supposedly proposing tails for 08-09 to do the same thing, is do we make our existing plants whole quicker, Mr. Chair, including, well, you know where they are, and move them to the 20 cents and get them offline quicker again, too, which, again, every plant originally was financed at that 20% rate. You know, the Kraft plant, Bud, and all the others, that's what they went into their lenders and said, we get 20 cents a gallon up to so many gallons for 10 years, and we've already kind of pulled the rug out from under that, and I suggest if we have $10 million, we ought to, first of all, go back to the 20 cents for the existing plants would be my quest. And then secondarily, what Representative Erdahl is getting at, which is very good, is trying to capture those dollars in the future. Because again, and Mr. Chair, you're maybe the only one on the committee that was here for the original ethanol debate. You know how hard it was to get that $69 million out to rural Minnesota. Members, once this goes back into the general fund, and as you look at the chart here, we're down to, I think, about $3 million in 2010. I mean, once that's gone, we'll never see it again. And, you know, this seed money we put in is made a $1.3 billion industry in rural Minnesota with many good-paying jobs. I suggest Representative Erdahl is exactly right that we need to hold that money and invest it in biodiesel, biomass, wind, hydrogen, other alternative and sustainable fuels in rural Minnesota and keep growing that industry. And that's the second policy question we need to decide is that worthwhile and should we move forward? But there's two major questions I think that we need to decide this year, Mr. Chair. And again, that's do we hit the 20 cents again? And secondarily, what kind of money pot of money do we preserve for future development of these types of fuels?
Thank you very much. And Representative Pennis?
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my question is, we run from 69 to 44 to 34, I think Representative Junkie said. And that $34 million this year, would that be keeping everything kind of status quo, but taking those plants that are coming off, would that account for that going from 44 to 34? Is that...
And thank you, Mr. Chair. My understanding is yes, it's to account for the plants coming off and maintaining a 13 rather than a 20 cent payment.
Right.
Those two factors are accounting for $10 million this year.
Okay, so
and I don't know the breakdown, but maybe the department knows the breakdown between. That'd be an interesting question, though.
And then, Mr. Chair, I think Representative Junkie has excellent point. I mean, we're gonna lose it now. If we don't do something to hang on to that, maybe the bill could. And I think, let me just ask, Mr. Chair and Representative Verdahl, is that what you're trying to cap, was get that $10 million?
Well, Verdahl? Mr. Chairman, Representative Pennis, looking at this little chart here, the baseline established here, because we felt it was attainable, was 2005. So that line, that solid line that goes straight across, that's the baseline of funding we're trying to keep. And the payments back to ethanol plants could begin in 2006. And would be done in 2011. And so it would be in 2011, essentially, that the fund could begin to grow unless something were done to pay them off sooner.
Well, Representative Pennis, you still have the floor, but Representative Erdahl, to that point, I think Representative Junkie brings up two questions. One is keeping the money that's falling offline in the ag department or in the ag budget, and point number two is to go to the 20 cents quicker. So we've got two different things there. What yours does is yours basically keeps it in the ag budget. You're not going to the 20 cents.
No, Mr. Chairman, committee members, no, what we're trying to do is keep this money in the ag budget. Basically, the philosophy was, you know, that we're losing this money, and we need to find a way to keep it. And then once we have kept it, decide how we're going to divide it up.
Representative Verdahl, you don't go to the 20 cents.
No.
Okay, Representative Pennis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Verdahl. So when I look at this chart, the black line is the I don't know what you've described as baseline. But that's at 21.4, 21 and a half million. Somewhere... you know, ideally, we'd want to keep the 44. We've already lost some from 69 to 44. Or am I not reading this right?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Pest, I think you're right. We're trying to keep the 44 over the biennium. We could begin making 20-cent payments in 2008. You notice where the you have the white line box and then the, you know, the squiggly line box. Between that and the solid baseline, you know, we could start making 20-cent payments there.
Mr. Rankin, could you please clarify just how this works?
Mr. Chairman, my understanding is with the set of laws we have in place right now and the set of rider language, any part of the appropriation, if the appropriation is made upon a level line at the rate of $21.428 million, it would start restoring as soon as scheduled payments are less than the amount being appropriated. It would not jump immediately to 20 cents,
okay,
but it would start paying back 1 or 1 and a half or 1 and 3 quarter cents per gallon at the end of the year to all those that had a deficiency up there in the box of the squiggly lines from 04 and 05. So it wouldn't jump to 20 cents immediately. It would simply start filling in to the level of the appropriation for any of the 7-cent deficiency that has been created over the last 2, 3, 4 years.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Pennis. Okay. Person Junkie?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To that point, that's what I'm hoping happens, and but I'm a little nervous when the department says they're scheduling the amounts on a 13-cent payment because, again, looking at Representative Erdahl's chart for 2006, that 13-cent payment is the white line, so it means it's somewhat above. It looks like it might be 15 or 15.5 cents or something that they should be scheduling for in 06, and in 07 it would be about 18 cents the way it looks. Is that right? Am I following what Mr. Rankin and what the department understands?
Mr. Ernest?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, that's a good way of saying what a flat baseline budget would be able to do is pay a larger and larger cents per gallon until in 08 it would more than cover 20 cents per gallon, and then you could start paying back the deficiencies from the prior years.
And Mr. Chair, then Representative Erdahl, is that, I don't know what your bill is more talking about the money, starting to capture money basically then in 2008 if we're not...
Representative Erdahl.
Right. Yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative Junkie, again, the main goal is recapturing this money, but in 2008, if we changed it, as Mr. Rankin has been pointing out, we're at 13 cents, but you know, we can change it to 20 cents in 2008.
But we're not at 13 cents. That's what Mr. Rankin just said. It's basically, if we appropriate the money, and we have to do that, it's then prorated. If we appropriate it into your fund, I understand your budget is $10 million short, so it's, you know, that's why it's based on what you're saying. But if we appropriated the $10 million, then you would basically be paying out on Erdahl's chart here, Representative Erdahl's chart, so it'd be more than 13 cents that you would, by law, have to pay out then if we appropriate that $10 million. Is that right, to your understanding?
Mr. Ernest?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Junkie, I'm not 100% sure I understood the question. If you look at the little box up in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see the difference between the base, using the 05 number as a base, versus what the governor's budget plans for, which is 13 cents. The difference is $2.683 million in 06 and $6.16 million in 07. So, in other words, this bill is capturing $8.843 million. It's not capturing the whole $10 million difference right that you're talking about. So, that, if we had $10 million biennium to biennium, or for the biennium more in 06-07 instead of 8.8, we could pay, you know, we could shift this line up by a little more.
Right. And again, Mr. I think we're on the same page. You're defending and talking about one thing, which is current law with the $10 million ultimately gone, and Representative Erdahl is trying to recapture that and keep it in, and that's a different scenario than what your budget books reflect today. Isn't that right?
Mr. Ernest?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Okay.
There is no money appropriated for 06 and 07
okay
yet.
And Mr. Chair, and I'll double check this, but I assume, and I'll trust Mr. Rankin on this, that if we then get down to finance, the Representative Osmond's committee, and we have a target where we can appropriate that $10 million, the first thing that will happen, Representative Erdahl, is a prorating to our plants, and I like that. We should get them back to where they should be as quick as possible, but then ultimately in 2008 we start building this fund for Representative Pennis, maybe a small grain ethanol plant up in the valley or other. I mean, there's some things that we really need, and if this money's gone, it's going to be very difficult to do some of those, you know, projects that we need to get going on.
Well,
it's going to
be back to the early 90s.
Oh,
that's not fun.
Yeah.
Representative Pennis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What I want to be sure of, and anybody that can answer this answer for me, is that we are not losing this money in the egg budget, which is so small to start with. So somebody just tell me, well, maybe Sam, tell me that we're not going to lose any of this money.
The bill passed.
Mr. Rankin, please tell her that.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Pennis, the tool to retain the flow of funding for ag projects is Section 3 of Representative Erdahl's bill. It is on page 5. And what this does is say that base level funding will be on into the future will be at the same level as the value-added ag products funding was in fiscal year 05. So that's how it locks it in at the number $21,428,000.
Representative Pennis?
I feel better now.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Ernest? Thank you very much, Mr. Ernest. Mr. Raddatz and Mr. Peterson, if you could please come to the table here. Mr. Peterson, if you just grab another chair there, please. Why don't you just grab a chair there?
Okay.
Welcome to the committee. I have first on my list Mr. Raddatz. If you could please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chris Raddatz, Director of Public Policy for the Minnesota Farm Bureau. If I might, Mr. Chairman, on a procedural question, I was a little disappointed with your ruling on the Fitzden Amendment on the previous bill. Would that be in order of future bills, that amendment?
Mr. Raddatz, my mother always told me, God rest her soul, life isn't always fair.
I heard that from
it may be in order if properly submitted.
And I too feel better, Mr. Chairman, with the explanation from Mr. Rankin, because that's really what we want to get at, is to protect that base level funding. In fact, our members adopted some policy, I think, a couple years ago as we were looking to the future, realizing that some of these ethanol producer plant, or ethanol plants would be coming offline. And we adopted the following policy. We support using funds from the 10-year phase-out of the Ethanol Producer Payment Program for expanded state spending on ag research, education, infrastructure development, and biodiesel producer payments. That was some of the ideas our members had at that time, and I think there's others out there. So we're supportive of the amendment that was made earlier to talk about more activities than just marketing and promotion. I think there's a lot of needed programs out there that could be funded with this money, so we strongly support this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Raddatz. Any questions for Mr. Raddatz? And I do think that we have a very capable chief author of this bill who, rather than using the language you just did, what the Farm Bureau would like to see, two words with a hyphen in the middle, value added. Very, very good language. Perhaps never at all. Okay, thank you. Any questions for Mr. Raddatz? Okay, Mr. Peterson, please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Tom Peterson, representing the Minnesota Farmers Union today, and just like Mr. Raddatz said, that we're very supportive. In fact, this fits well with our number one legislative priority, which has been to keep money in agriculture. As we looked at the $30 billion budget in the state of Minnesota and see that $71 million, or less than a third of 1% of the state's budget, is going for agriculture. You know, and it's interesting, I was just thinking today, this summer we were out at Farm Fest, and I think some of the legislators were there when Dean Johnson and Speaker Spigum were there, and they were talking about, you know, and this is pretty typical, the driver that agriculture is in Minnesota. And they're both saying, you know, that as you drive into the town there, Morton, and different towns, you say like 30% of the towns in the state of Minnesota, between 20 and 40% is driven by agriculture. You know, and that if you look around the small towns, and then, but I think it's interesting when I tell farmers and everything that we dedicate, you know, but less than one third of 1% of our state's budget, and we know that transportation, everything also, it takes into effect, but goes to agriculture. It's interesting, people. You know, I think there's good support for that in the countryside of getting that money too into agriculture. And in Minnesota, I think that, and a lot of our farmers would say that we've been successful with the ethanol producer payments and the state investment money, that it was a good use of taxpayer dollars. And we look at things like the wind incentive payments and other programs as being worth the taxpayer dollars. So we strongly support this proposal by Representative Erdahl. And like I said, too, that we're concerned about the ag budget because there are a lot of other things, as, and, you know, doing the catch-up
payments is a very high priority for us also. And then, of course, when that money is freed up, there are a lot of other things that we can be proactive in. We've talked about the dairy and the word livestock's in here that it could be used for, I think fits well. And then there's so many projects, whether it's wind, there's a lot of fuel things. There's a gentleman in Representative Magnus's district who wants to make, ethanol out of corn stover. So there's, not that those ideas are all perfect, but there's a lot of good ideas out there. And if people know that the state values it, they'll continue to push for those. So I urge you to decide that this is good policy here and pass this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Any questions for Mr. Peterson? Okay, with that, Representative Erdahl moves that House File 1205 as amended be recommended to pass and sent to the Committee on Agriculture, Environment and Natural Resources Finance. Representative Junkie.
Just one final comment again, just to emphasize how important this is. Representative Pennis, we've already lost $25 million. We lost that last year, and Representative Erdahl is trying to preserve the 44 at this point for future. And so I hope sometime in the future, if we ever turn this budget around, we can get back to the 69. But it's important, and frankly, Mr. Chair, you and Representative Osmond have a lot of heavy lifting to do as you wrestle with Leadership Corner on targets, because things like this are extremely important. And they're not in the governor's budget right now, so we can get it out of here, but we got a lot of work to do to get this to the final finish line, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Duncan. Your points are very well taken. Any other questions on the bill, comments? Okay, with that, Representative Erdahl renews his motion that House File 1205 as amended be recommended pass and sent to the Agriculture and Natural Resources Finance Committee. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Okay, with that, one announcement. Jennifer, thanks for the cookies. They're really good. Are there any left? I'd like the last one if I could. With that, good government all the time, we are adjourned.